Welcome to the Reach for Life broadcast from Christian Resources International. I'm Harry Jeffrey, and I'll be with you for the next half hour, featuring inspirational music and an uplifting message by Pastor Charles D. Brooks of the Breath of Life telecast. The Reach for Life program gives you knowledge for successful living in today's rapidly changing world. If you're raising a family, struggling with issues concerning your career, or seeking to enhance the overall quality of your life, stay right here. Reach for Life brings you thrilling messages from Pastor Charles D. Brooks, veteran evangelist and director speaker of the Breath of Life television broadcast. The Breath of Life telecast may be available in your area, and you won't want to miss it. Please check your local television listings, including your cable TV listings, for the time and station. Make sure you don't miss Pastor Brooks on the Breath of Life telecast. Set your VCR to tape the program for you if you have to be away. Babbie Mason asked God to show her how to love the way Jesus loves. She wants to be moved by divine compassion for even the least of God's children. Babbie Mason.
You didn't have to leave the glory of heaven, but you became a simple man. You didn't have to serve the poor and afflicted, but you touched and healed their brokenness. No greater love has been given. You became the ultimate sacrifice. Create in me the heart of a servant. Let this be my soul's desire. Show me how to love in the true meaning of the word. Teach me to sacrifice, expecting nothing in return. I want to give my life away, becoming more like you each and every day. My words are not enough. Show me how to love. I saw a bruised and battered woman with her hungry children on the street. Then I heard you ask in that still small voice, what have you done for the least of these? Lord, consume me with a burning fire that melts away my complacency. Then let me be moved with love and compassion. Then someone will find the way in me. Show me how to love in the true meaning of the word. Teach me to sacrifice, expecting nothing in return. I want to give my life away, becoming more like you each and every day. to love.
You can write to us anytime with your request for prayer or your Bible questions. We'll give you our address a little later, so please have a pencil ready. Pastor Brooks comes to us now with a message entitled simply Jonah. Perhaps you remember the story from Scripture in which one of God's messengers did not like his assignment, so he took off in the hopes of escaping his duty. God used some dramatic and thrilling special effects to illustrate the point that running from him is ultimately a waste of time. In the end, Jonah was only too happy to do God's bidding. Let's listen as Pastor Brooks applies this story to our experience in part one of Jonah.
Jonah, a very familiar character out of the Bible. From childhood, we talk about Jonah and the whale. But he didn't just end up in a whale's belly. There was a reason for him being there. And it could have been avoided. The Bible says simply, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And I don't know if we understand what a privilege it is to hear the word of the Lord. I did not say the word of a preacher, the word of a prophet. I did not say the word of a governor or the word of a king or the word of a president of some great country, but the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. It is in mercy that the word of the Lord comes. God's nature is offended and repelled and rebuffed and revolted by sin. Yet he bears with it like a mother bending over an afflicted child. God endures that which is revolting. And the Bible tells us why. Because he is long-suffering to us, would not willing that any should perish. So what is the remedy? If God is going to wait, what must be done? The word of the Lord must go out to men and women. There is no other word that can lift us up out of the mire and muck, the predatory pits of selfishness and sin. There is no other word that can offer hope that will last forever and ever and ever. There is no other word that can order our lives and give us victory over our besetments. There is no other word that can make a difference between us and the running common mill people who serve the devil and his ilk. There is no other word with transforming power save the word of the Lord. And make no mistake about it, there is power in God's word. Not magic, but power. God gives it that power. God said that his own word is life. God said that his own word is the truth. God said that his own word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts and divides asunder even to the marrow of the bone. God's word is the thing that can help us cut away the burden, the cumbersome burden of the flesh. The psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And God knows, as I live and move in this city, there is some cleansing that needs to be done. Men's minds are perverted. The other day, we were driving our car. The red light was red. It turned green and we couldn't move. And we wondered, is the car in front broken down? And then we realized what the problem was. A young lady with immodest clothing was passing on the sidewalk, and the man driving that car couldn't take his eyes off her in order to move the car. The minds are corrupt. Our minds are filthy and perverse and putrefying within our skulls because of the prevailing filth Somebody asking about movies a while ago, they are 10 times worse than they ever were. They do not sell without sex and violence and filth and bad language. Minds that feed on that cannot be pure. Somewhere the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How withal or wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The Bible says, by giving heed thereto according to the word of God. We ought to find the answers to our questionings in the word of God. We ought to make sure that when a preacher preaches to us, he is preaching the word of God. We ought to make sure that before we are moved emotionally, we have been moved intellectually. For God's word is intelligent and it requires thought and decision. What a privilege for the word of God to come. And it's a privilege to be an instrument through which it passes. For 4 weeks it has been my privilege to be here, to stand basically in this spot and declare the word of the Lord. I have challenged you to check up on me. I've challenged you to write down the texts and make sure God's word says what we proclaim it to say. I have challenged you to make sure your Bible speaks. And if it does not speak, you're not required to believe. I have challenged you to listen only to the word of the Lord. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And when God's word comes, it calls for duty. It calls for action. It's not just an emotional glory hallelujah word. It's a word that requires faith in it. And faith has within itself the germ of action. You can't really believe without doing. You can't really believe without expressing it in words and in deeds. Would you say amen? Amen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise. And I want to stop with that word, because whenever the word of the Lord comes, it challenges us to get up out of the dumps, to get up out of the doldrums, to get up out of the common and the ordinary, to rise out of the gutter. The word of the Lord always says, arise. If it comes to you in the middle of the night, it is arise. When it comes early in the morning, it is arise. All through the day, God's word says, arise. While others are doing their thing, God wants us to rise above it. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. When I ride through this city, a great city, full of wickedness, I am convinced in New York and in Washington and in Los Angeles and in other places where we are privileged to go, both in this country and abroad, that wickedness is abroad in the land. Iniquity abounds. And the Bible says the love of many will wax cold. The morals of men are going down. At the same time, the word of God says, arise, lift your sights. Rise up above noise and din and confusion of wickedness. There was a great city and God had feelings for that city. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, arise, go to Nineveh and cry against it. Somebody's got to cry against sin. There's too much coddling of sin. There's too much compromising with sin. There is too much of this business, this lollygagging with sin, this Pollyanna attitude towards sin. Somebody's got to call it by its right name. God said, go down there and cry against it. If they are practicing adultery, you tell them that the word of God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. If they are down there telling lies, you tell them that the commandments say, thou shalt not bear false witness. You tell them if they are homosexuals down there that the word of God calls upon men and women to be natural in their affections and clean in their thinking. There is wickedness in that city. Go down and cry against that wickedness. And I believe a preacher is not worth his salt unless he can do that. Or he's not going to be the most popular man in town. And the masses will not follow him, but somewhere it is written that those who enter the strait gate will be few, comparatively few. The crowd will always go for the broad way. The crowd will always clog the easy way. But those who will make up their minds to follow God's word, no matter what the future holds, those who make up their minds to stand for truth, though the heavens fall, those who make up their minds to do what God says, even though neighbors might laugh at them, those who make up their minds to do God's will, even though family members are standing in the way, they will be few. But God said, don't let that deter you. Don't let it distract you. You go down there and cry, not against human beings, but against the wickedness that is there. And let men and women know what God requires. Go down there and give them a clear choice. Go down there and make my way plain. Go to Nineveh and cry against the wickedness of that city. Somebody's got to lift his voice and do it. Billy Graham's wife said, if Jesus doesn't come soon and put a stop to this filth and sin, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for taking them out so long ago. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so. And the problem is we're becoming accustomed to sin. Yes. We are watching it on television, and it subliminally enters our minds and our consciousness. Point out here one night, and I hope you don't forget it. Someone has said, well, these movies and these things don't bother me. I can sit and watch them for hours. They don't affect me. You are deceiving yourself. Yes, psychologists say everything that enters your soul through the avenues of the five senses affects your life forever. Yes, when the Super Bowl was on, great and rich companies paid $250,000 for 30 seconds to advertise. Now, they wouldn't invest that kind of money if they didn't think television got through to the psyches of men and women everywhere. They are betting their money on it. They believe $250,000 worth, that if they can get a 30-second commercial, it will sink in. Even though people are going for sandwiches and cold drinks and beers, they believe that if we get this 30 seconds on, it will affect them and make them buy more Coca-Cola. It will make them buy more Goodrich tires. It will make them buy more General Motors automobiles. 30 seconds. And yet we sit there for hours and say, like someone without senses, it doesn't bother me. Oh, yes, it does. God says, go down, the wickedness is great, and cry against those people. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, it's worth noticing. There is a little word there that indicates direction. The Bible says that he got up and wanted to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, found a ship, and went down into the ship. And it wouldn't be long before he would be down in the belly of a whale, and the whale would take him down to the bottom of the sea. Whenever a soul runs from the word of God, that soul is always headed down. First thing God said was rise. But when a person sits here night after night and listens to God's word and then offers his strong reasons, makes up his mind, I'm going to do what I want to do, you might not realize it, but you're headed down. Some will say, but I've been doing this for so long. The truth is, you have not heard for so long what you've heard out here. You will never be the same again. And if it is the truth, and God knows it's the truth, if it is the truth, then to run from it and to raise up our own flags and decide we're going to put it off is to send our souls spiraling down. And who knows what level down we will eventually reach. Old Jonah heard the word of the Lord and he understood it. The word said, arise. If you obey, you're rising. But in disobedience, he went down. Instead of going to Nineveh, which was in the east, he decided to go in the extreme opposite direction. He was headed west to Spain. In order to get there, he got on a ship bound for Tarshish. You know what? When you read a little bit of this, you realize he wasn't through going down, because Tarshish was known for its underground mines. And this man wanted to lose himself. He wanted to go where nobody could find him. He wanted to run where the other prophets and church members wouldn't know where he was. But let me tell you, we can't run from God. As Joe Louis told Billy Conn so long ago, you can run, but you can't hide. The Bible says, where can I go to get away from his presence? If I go down into the earth, he is there. If I make my bed in the bottom of the sea, he is there. If I ascend up into the heavens, he is there. We cannot escape God, nor can we escape his judgment. And yet here is a man with a mission from God, getting ready to go down into a mine, into the darkness of a mine, just to keep from doing what God said. How foolish. How foolish. Going to Tarshish in Spain. Now he's on this ship. Verse 4 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I want you to know you can't run from God. Would you say amen? If God ever lets you go, you're in trouble. And there are instances where he let him go. He let Judas go. When Judas realized he had betrayed innocent blood, he went back and he began to cry, and that money began to burn holes in his pocket. He took it in his hand. It was so hot he didn't know what to do with it. And he said to the priest, I've done wrong. And they wouldn't even take the money back. So he threw it at their feet and went out and hanged himself. God let him go. Bible says it would have been better he'd never been born. Back in the Old Testament, there was one named Ephraim. Bible says Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. I've mourned with him for a long time. He's crossed over the line. His mind is set against me and so perverted, he can't turn around, even though I continue softly and tenderly calling him home. He's gone too far. Leave him alone. That was Esau, even further back. Bible says one day he decided he wanted to repent in his own time. We have this way of putting God off. Folks say to me, Pastor Brooks, I'm going to do it. Don't worry about me. You're the one who ought to be worried. There isn't the one of us here who knows he will go home tonight alive. Every day practically that I'm in New York, somebody is dead who didn't plan to die. Even little children are dead. And yet we say, I'll do it in my good time. Well, you might live 100 years. That is not the thing. The problem is when a man deliberately decides not to do what God says, he is hardening his own heart. And he is searing his own conscience. And one day when you make up your mind, now, Lord, I'm ready, God might have seen that you've gone too far. He might say, leave him alone. There's no hope for him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, Esau sought repentance carefully, with tears. Yes, carefully. He didn't just whisper a prayer while he was going fishing. The man went to a place he thought he could have sanctuary with God. I can imagine he fell down on his knees and he anguished with the Lord and he began to weep and to cry. But the Bible says he could not find repentance. He had gone too far. Yeah. Well, Brooks can't tell you when you've gone too far. I can tell you when you're going. Yeah. When God speaks and you start running from his word, you're on your way. Right. Only God knows when you cross the line. And that relates to how much truth you have had, how many privileges you have had, how smart you are intellectually. All of those things only God can judge. But the minute you decide, I'm not going to do what God says, even though I know what he says, you've already begun the far journey. You're already on your way. Well, bless the Lord, when Jonah was running to Tarshish, at least up until now, he hadn't gone too far. God decided, because he loves sinners so much, I'm going to try to head this hypocrite off, if I can. He still has the power of choice, but I'm going to try to create some circumstances that might bring him to his senses. So God opened his mouth and blew, and the Bible says a great wind fell upon the sea. And immediately the sea was roiled and angry and began to thunder as the billows rolled, and the ship was caught in the crucible. That ship that Jonah was sleeping on was like a pancake tossed on a griddle. That ship was about to break in two. It was loaded down with goods bound for Tarshish. God had created a conflict in the life of a man whom he was trying to save. And if God could reach him, he could save those men on board. The Bible tells me this.
You know that there is something very special he'll do in your life. Better than you can imagine, he'll take your heart and make your life brand new. Let the Savior take control of your life.
We are out of time for today, so next time we'll bring you the conclusion of the story of Jonah by Pastor Charles D. Brooks. We'd be happy to send you a copy of the entire 53-minute sermon. Please send along a gift of $5 U.S. or more, and we'll rush your audio cassette copy to you right away. Ask for tape number 4, Jonah. Write to Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918. That's Reach for Life, Post Office Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918 in the U.S. Be sure to ask for tape number 4. You might like to have our free catalog, which is full of inspiring music along with many powerful messages by Pastor Brooks. Just write to Reach for Life, Box 3339, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20918. We'll get it to you just as soon as we can. I'm Harry Jeffrey, your host for the Reach for Life program. On behalf of Pastor Brooks, Adrian Wesney, music arranger, and Myron S. Otley, our executive producer, thank you for listening. We urge you to invite Jesus Christ into your heart for peace, for true happiness, and for everlasting life. Until next time, God bless.